Yes, I am the world. I'm John Batchelor. To the Sahel, the shore of the Sahara, sub-Saharan Africa, with Ronan Wordsworth of the Geopolitical Futures, a subscription site I hardly recommend. Ronan, Senegal is at the center of a new storm. Senegal, on the coast between Mauritania and the two Gambias, is now in play in some fashion. It's non-transparent, but you report that the president of the country, after announcing that he was not going to run for re-election, has frozen the election process. What can you tell us about President Macky Sall and his decision? Because the country is unnerved by this. Good evening to you.
Thank you, John, and good evening. Yes, so over the weekend, the incumbent president, Macky Sall, who has been in power there since 2012, and is coming to the end of his second term ahead of elections at the end of this month, got on public broadcast TV and announced that he would be delaying the presidential election, which was slated for 25th of February this month, so just under 3 weeks' time. And his reason for that was under the pretense that it was to do with the Constitutional Court having disqualified candidates, having some sort of illegitimate candidates running, that there was question marks over their dual citizenship. So he had this excuse kind of saved up, it seems, to delay the elections. And what's happened now has been, the National Assembly, the Parliament convened to talk about the validity of this extension and have approved an extension of the presidential term and subsequent delay of the elections until December of this year. So that's a substantial delay to what was supposed to be an election in 3 weeks and has now caused huge amounts of protests on the streets of major cities across the country from civil groups and opposition parties and what some of those groups are calling a constitutional coup, where Macky Sall was not going to run, as you said, but has in effect held on to power until at least December.
Senegal, you report, is a country that has a reputation of being stable in a region where that is not always the case. Has something happened recently? Is this a delayed reaction to the pandemic or to the world disorder? What drives a stable country into this troubles?
So as you say, I think Senegal is the only country in West Africa that has not experienced a military coup since its independence on the mainland. And they've had three successful transitions of power, including the one that brought Macky Sall to power in 2012. Now, I think what potentially has changed, we've seen since 2021, there was large-scale protests in the street against, as you said, COVID, different inflationary pressures, things like this. And then a new round of protests that were last year, in the middle of last year, which were undertaken by supporters of the main political opposition leader to Macky Sall, whose name is Ousmane Sonko, I believe. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but hopefully. So he was widely popular amongst the youth, and polls were suggesting that he was going to win the election way back last year before he was thrown in prison for what they call it, what his supporters have called kind of fictitious and made-up charges of inciting youth violence and things like this. And so that triggered this large-scale protests last year, which the security forces quelled and it kind of went away for a little while. And then now in the lead-up to the election, he's still in prison, but he's handpicked a potential person to run on his behalf. He's endorsed someone else to run on his behalf. And again, I think that there was a fear potentially that they would do very well in the election. And it's been reported, I don't know completely the internal situation within the ruling party, but it's been reported that the candidate for the ruling party, for Macky Sall's party, is the current prime minister, and he's widely unpopular within the party. So, or Macky Sall does definitely not want him to take over the presidency. So it's kind of delayed this to force him out as well. So it's kind of, I see it as a bit of a twofold thing. It's a lot of pressure from the opposition party, from this young, charismatic and popular politician, and then his own party's candidate not being someone that he wants to support.
There is a larger story here that you identify in your article about Senegal, and this is where I leaned in and you had my full attention. Sub-Saharan Africa is in turmoil. You name the states that you've reported on these last months. Mali, which is going the way of an Islamic Republic, if I read the general scare correctly. Burkina Faso, deeply, profoundly troubled and now in disorder. Niger in disorder. All of these countries are Francophone. And the French forces or the French relationship has either been severed or is profoundly strained. This is sub-Saharan Africa. It's as if there's a virus spreading across. Is there one driver for why a country that has an elected governance suddenly turns to the military or turns to a strongman? Is it a trend? Is it a fad? Why now?
I would say that it's definitely become a trend through the region, particularly because these military regimes have taken power under the guise or under the for the reason of protecting the population against different resurgent Islamic groups. These areas in the Sahel, so Niger, Burkina Faso, Mali, have been hotbeds for Al-Qaeda-affiliated groups and Islamic State-affiliated groups. And they were largely under control with the central government missions that were supported by the EU and by the UN. However, the military saw opportunities, I believe, to seize power, saying that the security situation wasn't good and that they would fix the security situation, and seized power. And then what's become increasingly obvious is that it's very difficult to dislodge them from that power once they have got there, because there's another actor which has been able to move in and provide support to these military regimes, being Moscow, being Russian mercenaries originally through the Wagner Group and now under the name of the African Defense Corps, I believe, which is under the Russian Ministry of Defense and has amalgamated a lot of these mercenary groups into a state-affiliated entity. And they then act in a way that they protect the regimes in these countries. And as you say, it is a bit of a chain reaction. Once one has done it, the neighboring military saw this as an opportunity to do the same thing. And now we see Mali, Niger, and Burkina Faso have actually announced just last month that they wanted to leave ECOWAS, which is the West African Community, which is the main regional bloc governing trade and common policy between the countries of West Africa. And this is the first time, it's kind of unprecedented, that the three have announced that they want to leave and have formed their Alliance of the Sahel States, which has been asking Russia for support again for troops on the ground. There's been reports of Burkina Faso taking troops. Mali already definitely has troops stationed there, and Niger has also reportedly asked for Russian troops. So I think the Senegal situation can't be seen within a vacuum necessarily. It's part of this wider trend of instability and shift away from democratic norms in that region, and it's potentially able to be pushed on by these neighboring situations and by the Russian affiliations to these neighboring countries.
You remind me of the Russia-Africa Forum that was held in Petersburg last summer. At the time, I remember seeing the photographs and I'm thinking, this is Vladimir Putin showing off that he still has friends and conversations in the global South. That's how I saw it, recruiting the global South. And at that point, South Africa was notable, part of the BRICS, as speaking out in defense of the Russian action in some fashion. And President Sall of Senegal was attended that Russia-Africa forum. I'm going to presume representatives of Mali, Burkina Faso, and Niger also attended, telling me that Russia has a battle plan here and that it's proceeding, that the Wagner Group was an extension of policy out of the foreign ministry. Is there any indication that all of these groups now are paying attention to Moscow, that they're not on their own at all? They're depending upon Russia, what, for defense, for money? How do they see this connection to Moscow?
You're correct. So I believe that this relationship is much more security focused. While the Russians can offer security, they can't offer anywhere near the same levels of trade or even investment as Europeans, as the US, as China, different actors that can be there. But what the Russians can offer is security for the regime. And Macky Sall was in attendance there. He was one of only... What was notable about the Russia-Africa Forum was that the previous iteration had much higher representation from African countries. I think 40-something leaders attended. This time, it was only about 16 or 17 leaders attended, including, as you mentioned, all those countries which have quite a tight affiliation with Russia and then Senegal. Whereas those countries, they look just for security to Russia. Russia then can, from them, get some sort of political support as well as economic and financial gain through mining. There's lots of gold, uranium, different resources through these regions where the Russian groups operate and are able to run these mines in exchange for providing security to the different leaders.
I got the image when you were reporting this, Ronan, that in the back of the room in the shadows, the way Hollywood would make it, in the foreground we have a press conference by a colonel or a general who's now in charge of the palace. But in the background, without any detail, is a very tall Russian special force operator. And standing next to him is a man from the People's Republic of China with a check in his hand. Is that happening now? Do the Russian security agents arrive with a Chinese banking agent?
I do not believe that they necessarily coordinate their efforts. If you look at how they act, I think it's quite different. They both are always there, but it's less coordinated than that, I would think. The Chinese and the Russians, for instance, have come into a bit of conflict within Central African Republic, for one, over mining there and over the security and supposed killing of Chinese miners by Russian security forces. I don't necessarily see them working in tandem, whereas Russia has made the move, particularly in these Sahelian states. China's more omnipresent across the continent in terms of investment and in terms of, as you say, having a check ready to secure different deals.
Let's look at the U.S. There's a third great power here. Ronan Rhodesworth reporting for Geopolitical Futures on what appears to be a trend in sub-Saharan Africa, leaving behind democracy and veering towards calls to the Kremlin. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.